Waka waka waka, it's Tanner Thursday.
That's not
Waka
Kermit.
Waka waka, y'all want to hear a funny ass podcast? Hey, you turned in the right place. It's you like that? It's Tanner Thursday, Podzilla 1985, and the man himself is not here, which if you're playing a drinking game every week for that, then...
That's the slowest drinking game ever.
It is, but I want to...
What if they're binging Thursday episodes?
Oh there you go. You're dead by now.
I mean, you're having one drink an hour.
I was about to say, yeah.
You're doing fine.
I guess it depends on what they're drinking every hour.
Yeah. If you're doing a whole bottle of Patron, then yeah, you're gone.
A whole bottle of Patron.
It was the one tequila.
Oh, look at Oysters Rockefeller over here drinking Patron.
Yes. Got him.
I'm sitting over here drinking a can that literally says XXX on it.
No, it's a jug.
Drinky Crow?
It's a jug. He's got the clay jug.
I got that that moonshine Tanner brought in that one time, which I'm pretty sure was Kool-Aid mixed with ethanol.
No, when Tanner brought in, he brought in the store-bought moonshine, which is effectively flavored corn whiskey.
Flavored corn whiskey. There's nothing about that doesn't get me erect.
Yeah, because it's... And, I mean, you can argue that moonshine is like that, but it's nowhere near, the potency of actual moonshine.
Yeah, I took a sip. I don't remember passing out. And if I don't pass out on redneck moonshine, if you're bringing a hillbilly moonshine and I don't pass out, I assume it's not good. But I'm very unfamiliar with redneck wine or whatever it was.
Redneck wine!
I mean, I'm surprised they don't call it that.
I mean, that's when you buy the wine. It's like Walmart, except it's not in a box. It's in a bucket. It's the wine bucket.
The wine bucket.
Got a little tap. I mean, actually, that's probably higher class than box wine.
That's a Valentine's Day gift. Cody, a bucket of wine. I mean, a bucket of wine.
I thought about it, about the whole wine being different prices and, some wine being really, really expensive and really good. And then there's the box wine everyone makes fun of. Oh my God, it's so cheap and terrible. And then I watched Adam Ruins Everything and he explained, he ruined the wine industry because there's pretty much no difference at all in the quality of those wines. I mean, some certainly taste better than others, but the difference between a super expensive bottle of wine and the box wine at Walmart is completely up to taste preference.
It's apparently a lot of it is to do with just the age of the wine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because the longer the wine just ages,
ferments,
the better it is. So yeah, if you've got a bottle of wine from the 1950s, it's going to taste better than your box wine.
But at the same time, if you buy a box wine and you like it, good for you. Don't feel bad about it.
Yeah.
Be ashamed of it.
I don't drink wine often, but when I do, I just go to Schnucks and get some cheap local stuff.
Yeah.
And it tastes really good.
Yeah, it's wine. Wine's wine.
Yeah.
This Thursday show, by the way, I'm Shannon. Hi.
Hi.
I missed you. It's been a while.
Has it?
I'm talking to the listeners.
Oh.
Has it? We did a show last night.
You did a show last night. I did a masterpiece.
Is that what we're calling it now?
Dalton's here.
Yo.
The big D.
Uh-huh.
The big J.
Hmm.
And then double D's.
Really?
And by that I mean Jesse and Lindsay are here. Hi, guys.
What?
Jesse and Lindsay are here.
Uh-huh.
Which like Jesse, who's the big D, and Lindsay's who's double D's because of your breast size.
Yeah, I know where the joke was going.
Wait a minute. No. The big D is me, though. You said the big D is him.
No, he's the big J. I messed it up. You want to redo it again?
No.
Because you've already lost my Kermit intro yesterday. I'm not doing it again.
I want you to lose the Waka Waka intro. God, you were being sensitive tonight.
I'm not sensitive. Fuck you.
Well, I thought we were going to go without going the F word. But
no, it's Thursday. Thursday.
That's
we
true.
Cut
I haven't
loose.
Done, I haven't
Welcome
done
to
a
the
while.
End. This should be called, we should have a new name for it. We should call it Podzilla 1985 After Dark. Except the joke is that all of our shows are recorded after dark.
Actually, not opposed to that.
Podzilla After Dark?
Yeah.
I'm not either, because they don't have to know when we record these things.
Except for right now.
I mean, in internet world, we could have recorded it, at noon for all
and
they
plus,
know.
I mean, there are some shows, Nerd Up is occasionally, that will be recorded in the morning again this weekend.
That's true. And, with podcasts and posting and time and stuff like that, you can trick the rubes out there listening into believing whatever we want
what
them to
it?
Believe.
What is it, PS2J, the way they do their RSS feed, they were explaining it on their last show, because, they do, a Wednesday show and a Saturday show, but if you're on iTunes, it's just whenever they update it.
Yeah.
So, I'll get a podcast probably tomorrow that says, oh, it's posted on Saturday, but I can listen to it tomorrow.
Yeah,
so I was like, that's the weirdest thing in the world.
Podbean's really messed up too, because whenever I post something on Podbean, I usually post it at 11:30, and it'll say it's at 9. So that way, if I'm ever late and I post it after midnight, it's still technically, according to Podbean, posted on the day it's supposed to be.
Podbean, for whatever reason, and I've tried
Are
to make change
like
it
West
before.
Coast or
yeah, they're the on West Coast time.
And I've also tried to change it, and it doesn't seem to work. Podbean got lots of problems.
It's true. But one problem they ain't got is that price.
Yeah, $10 a month for whatever we want. We just added a new cast picks page.
Yep.
To the site, if you guys want to go check us out and take a look at some candid photos of us. Some of us in the studio, some of them are just at home chilling. You know, it's a.
Yep. There's a picture of me from a cooking night with Krista.
There is. There's a bunch of Krista pictures on there. There's some Zach Price pictures. There's some Double H pictures on there from, you know, his time with us. Mm. So it's a good trip down memory lane.
Yeah.
There's a picture of us with Lane, and there's a picture of Dalton with Austin Lane.
Yep.
So many lanes. So what are we talking about tonight? We're going to talk about GameStop again, because a memo, well, first off, they're kind of in some hot water over the Circle of Life program, which is not news to Jesse and I, or Lindsay. To Dalton it is, and we'll explain it to him here in a second. But a memo came out just a few hours ago from GameStop. That's what I was reading before we went on. That's why it took me a little bit. And, want to talk about that. We'll get to the details. But first off, I did say that I wanted to bust some knowledge out on you guys real quick. Today, and this is straight from CNN, okay? I'm just going to quote them. The Republican-led House voted Thursday to repeal an Obama-era Social Security Administration regulation to keep people with severe mental illness from buying guns. They have now repealed Obama's ruling that if you are so mentally incapacitated that you cannot handle your own affairs and you have a representative that takes care of things for you, like the people that come into our store to buy games, you could not buy guns. Now you can.
Well, that doesn't make any sense.
Not exactly. A goddamn lick. And here's why. Because whenever you see gun violence on TV, like every time there's a shooting, what's the two things you hear? First off, you hear...
mental instability.
Well, that's number two. Let me get number one out first. Goddamn. Number one. No. God damn it. Let me say the goddamn thing. And then we can move on.
But Shannon.
Stop it. All of you. Dalton, you want to throw one in? No. You hear from the left, guns are bad. We need to regulate guns more. Then from the right, you hear, Lindsay.
Don't take my guns.
No. Mental instability. God damn it.
Well, you
people are driving me nuts.
You said from the right.
Well, no, anyway,
I'll be over here with Pikachu.
Because from the right, what you hear is the only, like, if a good guy with a gun was there, and then all this could have been avoided.
Stop the bad guy with the gun. But no, you usually hear the whole, we don't have a guns problem in America. We have a mental health issue. And we need to study mental health better and find out, you know, why these people did those things.
Then why would that group say, oh, by the way, here you go, have a gun?
That's the confusion part.
In complete fairness, that's not completely incorrect. Like, we do have a serious mental health issue, and that needs to be addressed, and that would fix a lot of the issues we have with gun violence.
Yeah, but instead, now they're opening the floodgates and saying, oh, you can't even handle your own affairs in life? Please, have this semi-automatic rifle.
So,
good on you, Trump! And you know who backed this bill? The NRA, of course.
Of course, yeah, because they're selling more guns.
Yeah, they said it could affect up to 75,000 people that can't buy guns because of this of that ruling before. Now that that's gone,
good. Those 75,000 people probably shouldn't have guns to begin with.
Well, don't worry, because now those 75,000 people can get them again.
Yeah, I really don't like that.
No one likes that. I guess.
The NRA loves it. Gun manufacturers love it because that means there's more people to sell guns to.
And I bet people online that are advocating for everyone having a gun, right to bear arms, Second Amendment, all that stuff. Third Amendment. What is it? First Amendment. Second Amendment. Yeah, that's what I thought. I questioned myself for a second and that worried me.
It's okay.
All those people are celebrating going, this is a great victory for, you know, for gun lovers.
I really hope that I don't see anybody actually say that.
Oh, I know I will. I know a couple of people that love guns that are going to be on Facebook talking about how, remember, Obama was trying to take our guns away. But then in the end, he only tried to take them away from people that couldn't even handle their own life affairs.
The mental unstable people shouldn't have access to weapons of mass destruction.
Yeah, because what's going to happen now whenever there's another gun shooting? When there's another Sandy Hook? Or there's another, like down in Florida at the airport. Are Republicans going to go, well, there's a mental health issue we need to look at. You gave them guns.
Mm-hmm.
You said, are you retarded? Here you go. Have an assault rifle. Fuck it. I don't get it. Like, other than the fact that they're trying to sell guns to more people. What could Republicans possibly think this is going to accomplish other than appeasing the NRA, which for some reason is on their, well, it's on their docket. It's on their agenda because the NRA gives them so much money.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is accurate. That is literally the only reason.
And people don't see this. Like, it doesn't take goddamn Batman to put two and two together and find out this is bullshit.
See, and you think
Mr. Magoo could figure this out.
You think that, but a lot of people don't understand what the NRA lobbyists are doing. Like, they buy into that propaganda hard. They don't realize that the NRA doesn't care about you. They don't care about your rights.
They care about the profits.
They care about how much money they're going to make.
And they make a shit ton off of you rubes.
They do.
You sheep. We were in Culver's earlier tonight, and you know what was on TV? Was
that Fox News.
Fox News, the O'Reilly Factor. Well, Republicans love taking dick so much from Foxes, you think they were furries.
I actually liked that joke.
Thank you.
That was well crafted and well executed. I enjoyed that.
Thank you.
Take your bow. That was your joke of the night. Shut the show.
I'm upset about it. Like,
I'm really in the weeds on this.
You know me. You know how I feel about guns. And how I'm against, I'm not against guns per se, but anyone that thinks just the average American needs an assault rifle in his home, I don't get it. Like, that's not for protection anymore.
No.
You don't protect anything. You just want to shoot it with your dumbass friends and get drunk.
Yeah. And like, I've heard this, I've seen, you know, the reports, articles, videos, et cetera, of people all the time saying just like, look, we get it. Guns are cool and you want to keep your guns.
No one's trying to take the ones you already have away from you.
Yeah. But it's
unless
one
you're
of those
mentally
things,
challenged.
Yeah. But it's one of those things.
You shouldn't have one.
You can't argue that there isn't a gun problem in the United States. Like, I get it. You like your guns. You like shooting them. They're fun to shoot. I have a gun.
They're fun to shoot. Bob just got a gun.
Really?
There's a gun in our apartment right now. And I had it yesterday. And first thing I did, of course, he handed it to me. I immediately put it to my head and started clicking the trigger. It wasn't loaded, unfortunately. That's why I'm doing
the show. You did that in his room before you came out and pointed it at me?
Yes.
That's
he failed gun safety number one, that you don't point a gun at anybody, whether it's loaded or not.
Yeah, that's gun safety rules 1 through 5.
Yeah.
I don't need to take those because I could just get a gun for whatever reason I want.
No, yeah, and in Missouri, you don't even have to take a class. You could just carry it.
So dumbass Shannon could walk around with a pistol twirling it old West style. You want that around your kids? All right, so this reference is going to be lost on a lot of people, but for those of you that get it real quick, do you want Fonzie walk with open carry or whatever? Do you want Fonzie coming into the store with a goddamn pistol for the first time? The voices tell him to shoot someone.
Mind you, folks, this is not Happy Days, Fonzie.
No, it is not.
No,
he would have had to jump that shark.
That would have been much preferred than Fonzie coming in here and telling me about how, you know, this gun's future proof and I can save you if I just shoot the thoughts out of your head that, you know, the devil put in, and he pops me one in the face. That's your right to do that, Fonzie. God bless America.
That jukebox would not be functional anymore. I'm stuck on Happy Days. I'm sorry.
Happy Days are gone, my friend. These are Trump days.
But Monday, Tuesday, Happy Days. Wednesday, Thursday, Happy. I loved that show.
All I can think of is the old, I don't remember the name of the show. It was Monique was on it. And it was Monday, hey. Tuesday, hey. Wednesday, hey.
Can we talk about Happy Days and not that? I'd much rather talk about Happy Days at this juncture.
So, we can stop talking about it. But go ahead, Jesse. We can keep talking about it too. Either one's fine by me.
No, I was just gonna say, because you did make one mistake. You mentioned open carry. That was already a thing in Missouri.
Yep. So now he can come in unannounced with one.
Now he can come in with he can come in with a concealed. He doesn't have to have a permit. He doesn't have to have anything. And if that is true that anybody with a mental illness can now purchase a firearm, then yeah, Fonzie can go to a gun show.
As long as his history's clean. As long as he does, I'm assuming. And maybe that's not even true anymore. Maybe anyone can get any gun
they
want.
He does have a history of violent crime, or violence.
If it was reported.
I'm sure it was.
I don't know.
Oh, that would make me just real sad. So yeah, like if that's the case, then yeah, he could just go to a gun show. There's one 3 blocks from where he lives.
Yeah.
Every year.
Could pick up a gun, bring it into the store, and shoot whoever he wants.
Yep.
And then after it happens, we can listen to all the bullshit politicians talk about how tragic this is and how they're praying for our families. Well, I got news, dipshit. I ain't got no family. You can shove your prayers up your ass.
Yeah. The prayers are really gonna comfort my mom.
Yeah.
Like, she's gonna be real appreciative. Yeah.
And that's for the people that think it happened. Then you have people like Alex Jones who don't even believe these things happen, who said that, you know, the school shootings are a
conspiracy
hoax perpetrated by the Obama administration to take our guns away. Yeah, I'm not making this up. These are the people we elected to office and the people we follow now. Fuck you.
That's terrible. That's just beyond stupid. That's like moon landing was fake stupid.
And I'm a conspiracy theorist. I believe in little green men.
You want to believe.
And I'm not talking about Dalton when you started talking about that Iranian of gutting himself to pull out the saline or whatever.
Synthol.
Oh, can we talk about GameStop and action figures like I was promised?
Okay, let's.
Dalton, you want to be on the show tonight? Yeah, we were talking about GameStop and action figures. Yeah, I'll do that show. Yeah, I'll do that show all day. No, we're talking about gun violence and
synthol.
And synthol.
I mean, I did have some more things to talk about Trump being at the national prayer breakfast this morning.
Oh, my God.
Taking a shot at Arnold Schwarzenegger for some reason.
I loved Schwarzenegger's reply.
I did, too. And I
didn't see the reply.
He told Donald Trump, I'll tell you what, let's switch jobs. You can go back to TV since you're so good at ratings, and I'll take your job, and then maybe people can sleep comfortably at 9 a.m.
I would take President Schwarzenegger any day.
Hell yes.
If only he could be president.
He fought Predators, Terminators.
I guess technically he did fight Terminators.
He did.
I didn't think you'd get sexier after Obama. You get that Schwarzenegger one in there. He's just showing guys synthol people.
Yeah, that's a synthol abuser.
That looks like a fetish thing right there.
That looks like he went in for someone else's surgery that's not male.
That looks like if you took Ryback's muscles and put it on Rey Mysterio's body.
Ew.
Less Mexican tattoos, but yeah, pretty much.
Those are
Stop
infected.
Stop it, Jesse.
God.
Stop it. So Jesse keeps showing us pictures of people with fake ass arm implants. Stop.
Can we talk about not just arm implant? Give me that back.
All right, let's talk about GameStop. A friend of ours, who I won't name, but he's got two letters in the name, sent this, you know what I'm talking about, sent us an article that was on Kotaku, I believe, but this is all over the place.
Yeah.
I've been sent this by Lonnie Sr., who saw it on a different website. This is being reported all over the place about how GameStop, there's this thing called the Circle of Life.
Mm-hmm.
Jesse, Lindsay, and I, and Kevin, and a whole bunch of other people that listen to the show that worked at GameStop know all about the Circle of Life.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, where it and I forget the exact order. Jesse, remind me. Basically, pre-orders?
Yeah, you get a pre-order game.
Right.
Then they have to come in and trade it. Then they have to buy a used game.
Well, hold on. Don't forget the reward card. Because they get the bonus for trading in.
For trading in. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Sorry. Yeah. I was going to make that number 4. I thought that's where that was.
Well, Kotaku has it listed like this, and I don't remember it being this order, but we'll talk about it. Pre-orders, reward card subscriptions, used game sales, and then game trade-ins.
That order makes sense. I mean, it's fine.
But the point of it is that you trade stuff in to get new stuff, and then people buy that used stuff, and it just kind of goes in a circle. Yeah. You know?
Basically, the only time you buy it, the way GameStop would prefer it, the only time you buy a new product is when you pre-order. Then you should bring that product back in within 30 days, preferably, to get the most bang for your buck.
Right.
To trade it in towards a pre-owned game that maybe you missed out on at some point.
Yes.
And then you trade that back in towards a pre-order some other time because, you know, take advantage of a trade bonus.
Right.
Like, you know, you grab power trade deal.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's not a bad system because it makes sense. GameStop's the number one video game store in America, as far as I know.
As far as chain goes,
they're number one. And it was always kind of shady. And I'm just going to read this straight from Kotaku. They explain it better than I will with my rambling. But each of these quotas is based on the store's total transactions, which is true. Pre-orders and reward card subscriptions are based on the number of transactions, while used game sales and trade-ins are based on the total dollar value of transactions. If a store's quota for used game sales is 30% and the store sells $1,000 worth of merchandise, GameStop expects at least $300 of that to be pre-owned.
Mm-hmm.
And that's absolutely true. Yeah. Jesse, Lindsay, and I all worked at GameStop, and I cannot tell you how many times we would be bothered by, well, what's your percentage? What's your percentage? I heard percentage so much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we, when I was there, it was 15% reserve, and I want to say
like 12% power up, I think, when you left.
Well,
you know, power ups.
I mean, I got out of it
there,
before they really started harping.
Cause, was back when they were resin subs.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Which the subs are the power up.
Yeah, they became the power up card because they basically added the reward system to the old Edge card, which the Edge card was really just a bonus that you got for subscribing to Game Informer magazine.
Well, that's how we had to pitch it, but
yeah,
that's not what they wanted to sell.
Yeah. No, it was the dumbest thing.
They could give a shit whether or not you took the magazine as long as you bought the subscription card.
Yeah.
The thought process being that if you have the card, you're more likely to come and buy used and trade stuff in. And if you don't know, GameStop makes 100% profit on used games.
Yep.
They don't have
up to.
Yeah. Like, other than the initial trade costs, obviously, and other things.
Yeah, because, I mean, so for those of you out there that don't know this, and I'm sure most of you understand the basic economy of new versus used, if you go out and purchase a brand new game, depending on where they got it from, the store that you buy it from will make anywhere from $5 to $15, depending. Like, there are some, like, exclusions to that. I know, I remember EA was always the least profit margin. You had some other companies that were always higher.
Yeah.
Especially a lot of the shovelware on the Wii had a lot higher margin. Beside the point, that's where you're looking at. If you were looking at used games, your average profit on that was 50 to 150% profit.
Yep.
So, and everybody knows that when they go in to trade a game at GameStop. Like, that's when you discover this. How this works, because when you trade in a game at GameStop, and it's not much different here at even Gaming Grounds, you will give you $10 for a game that we will turn around and sell for $25.
Mm-hmm. Well, in GameStop's case, though, especially now, they'll give you $10 for a game that they sell for $50.
Accurate, because a GameStop does a whole lot of – one of the things that the benefits we have here at Gaming Grounds is that we can start refusing trades if we have too many copies of something. GameStop doesn't do that. Do you remember which – oh, my God. Was it Duke Nukem that we – that one, the trade value plummeted immediately.
The what was it called? The shitty one that
– Forever.
The Duke Nukem Forever.
Yeah, that's the joke. It took forever.
Yeah.
So Duke Nukem Forever. I remember when that game came out, a whole bunch of people bought it because it was Duke Nukem.
Yep. And they've been waiting for it for years.
Yep. And then people were trading it in immediately because it was terrible. GameStop really got ahead of the curve. And they immediately dropped the trade-in value to $10 on the game 2 days after it came out. 2 days after the $60 title came out, they traded in for $10, and we were selling pre-owned copies for $55.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, with the bonus card, though, it's like $50.
$49.49.
But you couldn't pitch that. You couldn't tell people if you buy... Because we had to deal with this. All right, if Dalton, if you brought in, you know, if you brought up a $50 game that was used... And I told you, get the subscription card. I couldn't tell you because you'll save $5 on that game. What I had to tell you was, you'll get a subscription to Game Informer. And as a bonus, you get this card that gives you $5 off.
He's
pointing at Jesse right now.
He sold that card to me.
I did.
Well, because the card
is solid. I was really
good
at it.
The card is solid. Like, it's,
yeah.
The card is fine. There's no problem with the card. In fact, the whole Circle of Life program, it's, at worst, at best, it's annoying. It's annoying, and for workers especially, to have to deal with that constant pressure of what's your percentages. Because it didn't matter how much you sold in a day. What mattered was those damn percentages.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and that was something like at the this like retail store that I worked at, not Hastings, but the other one. Yeah,
okay.
The other one, like it was one of those stores that really pushes credit cards. And I mean, every week I would get a little notification, a little slip of paper. I had to get like 4 a week. And then I had to make people order things online like 8 times a week.
Oh my.
And like, and they would hand me a slip of paper, be like, here's your numbers. And it was me. So, and I worked there forever. So it was like 0000. And I'd be like, all right, cool. Thanks. And I'd walk away.
Yeah.
But like the GameStop thing doesn't, the numbers don't shock me. What you were about to tell me about the like,
I do want to go back and amend something. They changed it with the PowerUp Rewards card where we didn't have to pitch the Game Informer magazine.
I love the magazine personally.
Game Informer is a good magazine.
It was awesome whenever they sent it. I only ever read it when they sent it to us in the store and I was bored.
Yeah.
They actually changed it where they were doing the digital subscription and they wanted us to push that instead. So a lot of times I wouldn't even bring it up. I would just sign them up for the digital version of the Game Informer. They would get it digitally. But what I was really selling them was the PowerUp Rewards card.
Yeah. How many people came in and when we pitched it to them, told us to just keep the magazine?
Oh, yeah, that happened all the time.
So like, we had it sent to the store.
I remember Trevor Camp. I don't know if he listens to this show or not. I know he listens to a couple of the other ones. He had a Game Informer subscription for like 3 years.
And never paid for any of it?
Never paid for any of it because every time he would send me a text message like, hey, I just got a notice that was my last Game Informer. Hit me on the next one. So, yeah, the next person that was like, I don't want the magazines. All right. And we're sending this to Trevor Camp at.
Because they don't outright say you're going to get fired, but the shame and pressure they would put on us for not getting numbers.
They cannot. It's in the handbook and they mentioned it several times. They can't fire you for poor performance. However,
they cannot schedule you.
They can take away your hours.
Right.
You won't get raises.
Yeah, they could take away your raises. That happened to me, despite how good my numbers were.
Mm-hmm.
they can, there's a lot of things they can do to you other than fire you.
Mm-hmm.
And they can also start actively looking for reasons to fire you.
Yeah.
Which is what I think happened to like Brock, back when, they were going to close EB Games. I think that happened to,
Well, let me tell you a personal story. When I started at GameStop, I was so, I don't know the right word for it, not threatened, but I was so paranoid about my numbers and about percentages that I would spend my own money to sign people up that would never use it. There was a time I signed up Lindsay's friend Ariel and put her address in
that.
Because we needed percentages for that week because mm-hmm. we were dead last in the whatever. And they email us, they call you. I still remember being on conference calls and they would ask on the conference call, so Shannon, how many are you going to get me this week? And if you worked for EB GameStop at the time, you know exactly who I'm talking about. They would ask you, how many are you going to get me this week in front of everybody? And then they expect you to match this number. You pull this magic number out of your hat of I'm going to get you 15 res and 7 subs this weekend. Okay. and if
you didn't meet it, like, hey, you came in short. They
would embarrass you.
Yeah. And also, I wanted to add those percentages you gave earlier whenever you left. It was like 15% and 12%.
It was even that. Maybe when I left, but for the majority of it, it was 15% and I want to say like 7%.
When I left, we had, the res goal was 22%. And, at one point it was up to 25, like during one of the hot seasons for like, it was in October. Cause, you know, we had it was a November release coming up. It was going to be a big one.
Yeah.
So they expected us to get 25% res. That's one reserve in every four transactions. Yeah. And they wanted us to get 20% power up. 20% power up was actually like, that was the goal for most of the last 2 years I was there.
And what that means is that every time you go into GameStop, and if you shop at GameStop now, you know exactly what we're talking about. You get hit with, do you want to reserve something?
They give you a script that you should go on.
Yeah.
Like so many things you have to sell. And that's one of the biggest mistakes you can make. You need to, like, that was one of the things I preached to every new customer, like every new employee, rather. Every time they would come in, like, don't go through the whole spiel.
Yeah.
Like, profile them. That's one of the things you have to do at GameStop. You have to profile the customer.
See who you, when they walk in the door, you should know automatically whether or not you can sell them something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what to sell them.
Yep.
And it's one of those things, like, you pick your battles. Like, you know, you throw in there, like, is there anything you need to pre-order while you're at it or something like that. But yeah, no, like they want GameStop as a corporation wants us to go through the whole spiel. So every time you go into a GameStop, especially if you find a new employee that, you know, doesn't really know what they're doing,
they'll hit you with it.
They'll hit you with everything.
Yeah.
And, if there's certain like just real up and go getters, we'll even start pulling out like lists for you to look at and start pointing stuff
because
out.
Because we had lists at GameStop that we would hand to people, put it in their hands and highlight stuff.
Yep.
They expected you to get pre-orders based on what they bought. So, and I'm not making this up. There was a time someone brought up like a PS2 game. It was like some kind of shooting game for like $4. And then they expected me to get him a $60 reserve on a brand new like PS3 shooting game.
Yep.
Simply because he bought, if you're buying a $4 game to begin with and you're already giving me trouble about it, you're probably not going to plop $60 down for a new game.
Almost certainly not.
Yeah. And the pressure was just, it was ridiculous. And it gets worse. I'm again quoting from Kotaku here. This is from a GameStop employee who emailed them and requested anonymity because he was not authorized to speak to the press, which, by the way, no one is.
Yeah, they actually go over that several times. You cannot talk to the press under any sort of official capacity.
And if anybody from GameStop is thinking, well, you can't say that because, you know, you signed all this. You fired me. Mm-hmm. You severed my contract. So
it's been long enough that it shouldn't matter anymore.
Well, yeah. We are no longer employed. They have nothing on us.
So suck it. And I want to say this real quick before I get into this. I've never met a GameStop employee that was dishonest by nature. I've never met an employee that's in the store that is a bad person. They get pressured so bad.
I also
that it turns a bad it turns a good employee bad because they're so scared of losing their job. When I was on a conference call once, and I think Jesse, you might have been on this conference call at EB. I asked them, my guys are pissed off. They're depressed because of all the pressure you put on them. What am I supposed to tell my workers to make them feel better about this job? And the reply I got was, there's a lot of people that want their job.
Yep.
Fuck you.
That's the worst attitude possible to have.
Yeah. If you can't hack it, they'll find somebody that can. And the real downside is they're not wrong.
No, because every day people would come into GameStop and, oh, I bet this place is awesome to work at, isn't it?
Disillusioned.
No, it's not.
Yeah. And do you remember the stat? Like every day we would get, like even in slow periods, we would still get 10 applications a day.
Yeah.
I remember having to sift through every time we would do holiday hiring. We would have to, like John and I would sit there and sift through literally hundreds of applications trying to find people that have the availability and just want to work there.
And you could knock out a couple real quick. The ones that like barely had legible handwriting,
yeah.
People that couldn't spell properly, the ones that lie or put down dumb stuff. But there were always good people that wanted to work at GameStop because everybody wants to work at a game store when you're young. It's fun, right? It's not.
Mm-mm. I mean, I worked at a Hastings. Like, I get that.
Yeah. And you know, I wanted to ask you about your Hastings experience here in a second. Let me read this off real quick. This is from that GameStop employee who emailed, them. By the way, do not speak to the press, GameStop. And there's a reason why, by the way. Quote, we are telling people we don't have new systems in stock, so we don't take a $300 to $400 hit on our pre-owned numbers. This is company-wide, and in discussions with my peers, it is common practice. We also tell customers we don't have copies of new games in stock when they are on sale. For example, Watch Dogs 2 is currently $30 new and $55 pre-owned. We just tell them we don't have the new one in stock and shuttle them out the door. And that's true. Like back in the old days, we had to put up with that same BS where people would come up and go, why is the new game $20 cheaper than the used one?
It's like, oh, the manufacturers or the developer, publisher, whatever is running a sale.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I mean, that's what it was.
And I'm proud to say, at least me, I don't know about you guys, and I don't think so, but we never lied to a single customer.
No, I never lied to anybody about what stock we had in.
And if a game was crap, we told them it was crap.
Yeah, if anybody asked my opinion.
Yeah.
I have before, not knowing that a game was on sale, sold someone a game that was used for $55 that we had on sale new for $30.
Yeah.
And I just because I didn't know.
But you've never flat out told someone, no, we don't have it.
And the same thing with like the new consoles. Like, yeah, that's a problem. But like, ideally, what you're supposed to do is sell them on some used games with their system.
Mm-hmm. Or explain to them how buying it used is preferable.
Even though it only saves you $20.
Yeah, or in a case like where the game is $30 more used, that's really hard to spin positively.
Yeah, there's no way to spin that one positively. You have to just say like, yeah, manufacturer's running a sale.
And then bite the bullet and sell it.
Yep.
That's what you do. You don't risk losing customers because you don't want to take a hit on your on your margins. But at the same time, I get it because it was such a problem then, and that's when GameStop was doing great. They're not doing as well now as they were back then, so I assume the fear is running deep in GameStop.
Yeah. And it's because digital is becoming bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
And it was one of those things like, I know you mentioned like stress and pressure, but also like several GameStop employees, especially the ones that would get higher up, like we were outright brainwashed. Like, do you remember how angry we would get when somebody wouldn't get one of those sub cards or somebody wouldn't pre-order a game and they wanted to just come in and get it on a release day?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And we would defend GameStop too.
Yeah.
Because again, I don't know if this is well known by now or not. We've said it on the store or the show before. GameStop employees were encouraged to open brand new games.
I was going to bring that up if you didn't.
Yeah, and play them. And when we said, no, we're not going to do that, they got on to us about it.
Yeah, no, Shannon and I were threatened with our jobs. We had the district manager at the time came in and told us, and yeah, I don't know if we've told the story on the air before or not.
I think we have.
Yeah, I think we have too. But yeah, the short version is the DM came in while Shannon and I were working. Shannon and I were not able to give an opinion on a brand new hot title. And when the DM asked us why we hadn't checked it out and played it so we could have some product knowledge, we told her, well, we haven't gotten a used copy in yet. Then she told us we need to start checking out new games or she'd find some employees that would.
Yeah, and that, again, that was back when things were good.
Mm-hmm.
That was back when GameStop was on top of the world. Apparently now, not only is it encouraged, but there's an actual Circle of Life program which hit last year, so this is after our time, and each employee gets a Circle of Life score added to their profile or whatever, and the four categories from the Circle of Life represents 25% of their total score. And apparently, where is it here? They say that district managers, the higher-ups, are paying attention to not just the store but each individual number to make sure you hit at least 75% quota.
Yeah, which is one of those things. Like, the Circle of Life was always there, and we always did get ranked on those things, even individually. Like, when I was there, our DM would just – our DM assigned a store manager whose task it was to call around all the stores and get everybody's individual numbers and rank all of the employees in the district. We actually got pitted against each other.
Yeah.
Is how that worked out for bunny pins.
Bunny pins.
Oh, I forgot about those damn bunny pins.
Oh, I know what you're talking about now. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because you remember my lanyard, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Jesse, we never met, but I've known you forever.
Well, that was the thing with Jesse and I, especially, is we each had lanyards filled with bunnies.
We were giving away our bunny pins.
I was going to say, we did so well. I would give my pins to other people and go, no, you deserve this.
Yeah.
Hands
out
like a game ball. And you were the Belichick of GameStop.
And by the way, we did that honestly.
Yeah.
We did that honestly. So if they have to lie and cheat now to get their percentages, that means they suck at teaching their employees how to sell things.
Oh, yeah, because
well,
they keep going.
You guys are forgetting that your store was one of the top ones for a while there,
oh, yeah,
too.
Me and Shannon have bunny trophies in addition to our bunny pins.
Bunny trophies!
I still have my trophy.
I have mine, too.
I'm going to need to see these trophies.
Well, don't forget, though, that they were going to shut that store down before we got there.
That's true.
And then it went from shutting down to EB shutdown, and we became top, what, 5 of the company?
Yeah, we were in the top 5% of the company.
Which is why we have the bunny trophies.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to need to see these trophies.
It's like the Triforce. I have one, Jesse has one, and I think Matt Sin has
has the third one, because we got 3 of them. That was back, like, that regime was basically Pat Kennedy, Shannon Young, and myself. And we also had, like...
That's a sexy regime.
Kevin.
Uh-huh. Kevin came in later.
That regime has got a lot sexier.
Yeah, Kevin came in towards the end after EB closed. Teddy was there.
This is a sexy regime.
Yeah, because from, like, once EB closed, we got Dombach, Teddy, and Kevin from EB.
Yeah.
Because I said bye.
Yeah, because
Lindsay left.
Yeah, Lindsay was going to take a demotion, and she was going to
lose Sykeson.
Hours.
Yeah, I was going to have to drive 20 minutes with no guarantee of hours and no pay change.
Yeah. So, yeah, Lindsay opted out. The old store manager got fired. That was Brock, who I was talking about. But for most of that, that was the me, Pat, and Shannon regime.
And here, by the way, here's what GameStop, they sent out a press release to Kotaku that said, all of GameStop's internal programs are designed to provide our customers the best value in their video game purchases, including new and pre-owned merchandise. With any program, opportunities arise for improvement, and we will continue to refine it to equip our knowledgeable store associates to provide a great store experience. If you think you're giving a great store experience, talk to anyone that goes to GameStop. Unless you personally know the people working behind the counter, it is a miserable experience.
Uh-huh.
You are bombarded with questions and pre-orders and subscriptions. And if you're not, that employee is going to get chewed out for not doing it.
Yeah.
Because I want to say, like, our local GameStop is still fine.
It is. I like our GameStop. I like the people that work there.
And I don't know if it's because they all know me. And I say they all. There's only, like, 3 of them there that know me. But they're always the
most
ones that
most of them
are
know
there.
I'm not Jeremy Hart. Some of them don't. That's a problem.
They recognize me, they talk to me, and it's fine. But I know, like, I have been to other GameStops. Every time we travel, like, we went to Indianapolis recently, go to a Colts game.
Yeah.
And I went into that GameStop up there in Indy in the mall. And it's one of those things, like, Mandy was the only one that bought something, and I could hear her, like, they asked, do you have a rewards card? Like, is there anything? And she bought a pop figure.
Oh, I wanted to do that bit. Cause the only time I walk into GameStop now, it's to buy an action figure. I don't need a rewards card for that.
Yeah. Mm-mm. And yeah,
I'll take my $20 or $22 cause you're slightly overpriced and let me leave. You're the only people that had Iron Fist at the time. I really needed it.
They don't hit me with the pitch anymore. Cause I think now they recognize one where I work and two that I used to work
there. Well, you hear that, like, at our GameStop now, I don't get hit with anything anymore.
Yeah.
Like, occasionally I'll get hit with a pre-order.
Right. But they know better because I know the system. And I told them that once. I was like, dude, you don't have to pitch this to me. I used to pitch it. I was the king of pitches. I was Queen P.
You were a pitch king.
I was the pitch king. So you don't have to do that for me. And that's and not to self-promote, but that's one of the reasons I'm still here at Gaming Grounds is because I could take my love of GameStop, of selling games and talking about games and putting it in a mostly no-pressure environment.
Mm-hmm.
Where we still get pressured, believe me, but I don't have to pitch anything.
The pressure is different.
The pressure is different. There's still pressure. I'm still under pressure.
Yeah, the pressure is like.
By the way, that's the intro song tonight.
It better be.
Yeah, the pressure now is, will the doors ever be unlocked again? As opposed to, will I ever come back to work again?
it's transformed from, did you get, what's your percentage on reserve and subs to, did you make any money?
is the rent covered today?
Yeah. But that's fine. Living on the fringe, baby. Dalton, talk to me real quick.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Tell me about Hastings. What was it like at Hastings compared to GameStop, what you hear us talking about?
I mean, there's some similarities. Of course, like, we weren't pressed to, like, sell you. Well, we did. We sold used, but it wasn't nearly as bad. Because we dealt with movies. We
Hastings had their hand in a lot of different pots. When it got bad was when we had the magazine subscriptions, which is something that happened about 3 years ago, four years ago.
And they tried to hit me with it once. And
What it was is like, all right, you paid with the card. Let me sign you up for 3 magazines free for 2 months or 3 months or however long it was. Make sure you cancel at the end of it. Keep this number. If you ever come in, I'll give you the number. And a lot of people would forget how it's just a big scheme. But like what you would do is
most magazine sales are.
Yeah.
That company's going to come after you. they can't.
Yeah, they're gone.
Fine. Yeah. Some mentally challenged guy shot it.
No.
I'm sorry. We're not going back to that?
No.
Okay.
No.
Please
too soon. So, about like, I guess a year or two left of Hastings, they switched it to where like, all right, we're going to go to straight reservations now. We want you to get, I think it was like 5 to 15 reservations or like pre-orders. But like we would pre-order movies, games. I tried pre-ordering action figures before. That was a horrible experience. But like it was pre-order like lifestyle stuff. And it was so annoying every week. Cause like my DM, when I liked my DM for the most part, but he would call me cause I was one of the front managers. He'd be like, all right, somebody in Dyersburg just did 18 pre-orders in a day. And I would just say, all right, good for them. And I'd be like, we're trying our best. We are making more sales than they are. Cause I knew everybody's sales. I was like, we are doing more sales than sales are just cause I'm not pre-ordering this stuff or making people buy things they don't want to. It was one of those, like, they only had the pre-order for so long. It was so flawed. I pre-ordered 2 movies just so I wouldn't have to deal with, like, having to go in on a Tuesday morning and grabbing it.
Yeah.
And there was 2 times that they didn't get enough copies. And since I was a worker, I had to wait another week to get mine.
Yeah.
Be like, well, why'd I drop $5 down?
Right.
But no, like, all of our stuff, like, all of my main headaches from that store was, like, rentals and then people bringing in dirty, like, movies and stuff like that, which we've talked about here.
we get that.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
Yeah. And it was stuff like that, but I didn't get pressured a whole lot. Like, I had some things, the Hastings rental card.
Right.
I had to get, oh God, what was it? I think I had to get 25% scan rate. And that was somebody not renting a movie, using a car, like, using the scan card and having an email. And if I didn't get that 25%, they would put it in a nice little list, and mine was always like 12%, like a red line through it, and be like, "Yeah, fix it, Dalton," and that was about it.
We had a thing where if you scanned in their card,
yes,
it wouldn't hurt your subs.
Accurate.
And Jesse, you and I both know that. Speaking of card, you know, scans and
stuff. Yeah.
You and I both know people that got fired.
Yes.
Because
yes.
they had
there was an entire upper management staff. Yeah, got wiped out for doing
because
that.
They would scan in the card just so they wouldn't. You know, get in trouble. And you're probably thinking like, but they're not going to fire him. You said they weren't going to fire him. No, they probably wouldn't have fired them for not getting the subs. But the fact that they did it, took that risk and got fired should give you a hint of how pressured they felt. Also, Jesse, you can tell them about this and I can too. How many times did we as employees reserve just a shit ton of games for no reason?
Oh man. It was one of those things.
We had copies available. We would pre-order it anyway.
If we had even like the slightest like idea that we were going to pick it up.
Yeah.
Like we put $5 down on it. We would wait for slow weeks. You know, if anybody was having a slow period. Yeah, we would that's when we would do our pre-orders. Like if we were having a bad day or if we got a bunch of cancels.
Oh God.
Like, cause if somebody came in and they were like, yeah, I had 3 games on pre-order. Oh my God. So one of the worst parts about like working in the Cape Girardeau location is that everybody from these small towns that also have GameStops, Popper Bluff, Sykeston, Kennett, Farmington, they would all come to our GameStop and pre-order games, and then they would go to try and pick them up, and Popper Bluff, Farmington, Sykeston, and we would we would take a cancel for it.
Yeah, we'd eat it.
Yeah,
yeah.
So anyway, yeah, no, that was definitely a thing.
Yeah, and again, we knew the system. We knew there were copies available, and we still did it.
Also, do you remember how bad it was every time an employee was let go or moved on to greener pastures?
Yeah, I can recall.
And they had that pre-order list?
I can recall several people that when they left, I was like, well, who's going to be here when they take that?
Because who did you hit when you left?
I still think we picked up most of the games.
We picked up most, but we canceled a few. And you know why I canceled a few? Because I couldn't afford to pay my bills.
No, I remember
she fired me.
Like you re-pre-ordered a lot of stuff, but I remember you had like 25 pre-orders and you canceled like 20 of them.
I want to say it was Justin Mann, but it may have been Kevin.
Cause I don't remember. Cause I thought it was Krista that you hit.
I don't think it was. I want to say it was a dude, but it may have been Krista. Whoever it was just told me, I don't care. Like, I want to help you. I don't care. But I felt, so this company fired me, and they fired me for a stupid but understandable reason. Like, I get it. But even though they fired me and I lost my job and I lost my source of income, you know, Lindsay and I were paying for everything together. And now
you were making way more than I was.
And now suddenly she's the only one that can pay for it. And I still felt bad about canceling pre-orders because I knew it was going to hurt the associate that took it.
Yeah.
GameStop should have expected it.
That week was bad.
Yeah.
Because like I said, Shannon had probably 25 pre-orders.
Yeah. Because I wanted the store to succeed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, we all had about that number. Like it was not unusual.
We created fake profile names.
Because there for a little while, they told us that we could only pre-order, we could only have 5 games on our list at a time. And the reason they did it was for the exact reason that when Shannon left and he canceled 20 pre-orders, like I said, that hit, that annihilated the week.
Yeah.
Because like whenever Shannon was let go, that was during a slow period. Cause it was, well, no, it was November when you got let go, wasn't it?
October.
Okay.
Ooh, then right at the upswing then.
It was right at the beginning of the upswing. So it was a slow period because people were ramping up for Black Friday and everything.
Yeah.
So yeah, like him canceling 25 pre-orders, or maybe he didn't cancel every one of them. But yeah, that took out, like, at minimum, half the pre-orders we would have gotten that week.
To be fair, I spent that month I was unemployed playing Dark Souls and I beat it.
No, I mean, like, again.
And job hunting.
Well, it didn't take me long. Thank you, Melissa. You got me a job at Shoe Carnival.
And it's one of those things, like, I don't blame Shannon at all for this. I'm just expressing, like, what would happen.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, we were pressured into pre-ordering games ourselves to upgrade our numbers, too. And, yeah, it was always awful. I remember when Katie left. Katie was probably the worst about, like...
Just putting money down on everything?
Yeah, because she was trying to balance out...
Well, she deserved a damn statue once. That damn John told me about it.
Yeah.
It was like a Harley Quinn or something.
It was a Harley Quinn bombshell statue.
Yeah.
And she didn't, like, it came in and it was like a $120 statue. So she didn't want to pick it up. And it was there forever.
Yeah. You, not only did you eat the cancel, but now you have a product in your store that's just sitting there.
Yeah. Like, and it just kept dropping in price, but it never dropped to a reasonable point. So yeah, like that's just what happens. And when Katie left, because she was trying to, there were, certain employees when I worked there that didn't get very many pre-orders. And by very many, they got almost none.
Peaky Blinders?
So to try and balance that out, to try and balance out certain other employees to make our store look good, Katie was the worst about just pre-ordering stuff.
Yeah.
And whenever she quit to go to Barnes & Noble, she had like 30 pre-orders.
Well, okay, let me tell you a story about Lawrence. I'm not going to say his last name. You know who I'm talking about.
I do.
I loved him. He was a great guy. Super nice. Couldn't ask for a better person. He got fired for stealing. Cause basically what he did was he had multiple games checked out. And you're not supposed to. You have one game checked out and you have to write it down.
You've told me the story, Jesse.
But that's not why he got caught. Here's why he got caught and what he really got fired for was because he sent his wife, he would pre-order a ton of games. His wife would pre-order a ton of games for her under her name or whatever from him. And then he would send her in to cancel them on another employee. So he would pre-order 7 games, have her pre-order 7 games for him. He took the numbers, so he got the percentage. And then I worked the next night. She would come in and cancel all of them. And he got caught. And then when he got caught doing that, he admitted to doing the other stuff.
Well, because
that is the pressure they put you under.
What he got caught doing was his wife making a purchase, and he gave his wife the his employee discount. That's what flagged LP.
Well, I guess Bobby was the one that saw the reserve thing.
Bobby probably saw
Bobby
the reserve
was obsessed
thing.
With that shit.
Yeah, no, I remember that guy just like digging through receipts and finding stuff. I remember when he found, that Matt, like what he was doing with the trade-ins.
Yeah.
Like he just came in with like a pile of receipts. Like, I got him.
Yeah.
I got him.
To be fair, Matt was just scummy.
Oh,
not
yeah.
Matt Sin.
No.
Not Matt
no,
Sin.
Different
Matt.
Different Matt.
He was just scummy. He was just ripping off the store.
Yeah,
and
he
I'm
was.
Glad he got fired. But Lawrence, yeah, he was doing shady stuff too. But I almost feel like, I mean, the giving out his employee discount to other people, yeah, I get that.
Well, no, because he was giving out his employee discount to his wife, who is, in fairness, supposed to get his employee discount. That flagged LP. And what happens, like, the LP at GameStop, they are legitimately, a lot of them are ex-special, well, not special forces.
GameStop don't around.
They are ex-military. Some of, like, there are a couple of LP officials that are ex-CIA.
I'm pretty sure some of them were in the mafia.
That could be.
Their intimidation.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, they know what they're doing. So basically they came in and they hit Lawrence with just like the oldest trick in the book. We know what you did.
Just
so why don't
it.
You go ahead and admit it?
Make
and it'll
it easier.
Be easier on
yep.
you.
Yep.
Just the oldest trick in the book. So yep. Lawrence, not realizing that the giving his discount thing out was a bad thing, like admitted to
spilled
having
his guts to everything.
Yeah, and admitted to having the multiple games pre-ordered. That's what really like.
And then they took him out in handcuffs.
Yep.
They didn't charge him. They never charged him with anything. They just took him out in handcuffs down to the station just for appearance. And the worst part about that for me was the fact that I knew this was coming for a week and was told not to tell anybody. They were like, we're going to come in and we're going to arrest Lawrence. We're going to do all this. You can't tell anybody. I had to work with Lawrence for a week knowing.
And it's like, why did you tell me this?
Yeah. So there was a dude that was legitimately stealing from Hastings at one point. And he's the reason that I became a manager. And I knew it was coming for a week ahead of time. And it was the exact opposite. Like, cause I knew the conference call was going to happen and everything like that. And the day he showed up, it was the day I was off, and I actually knew when he was coming in. So I like came in and was like, act like I was shopping cause I wanted to see it happen. I'm the anti you. I thought it was funny.
Well, to be fair, like,
Lawrence. Yeah, but did you like the guy?
No, I hated him.
Yeah, that's the difference.
Yeah.
Because there were people that when they were let go from GameStop, Shannon was thrilled. And so was Jesse.
Very. Yeah.
You're just like, I could take the bunny pin off of his and put it on mine.
Oh, they didn't get bunny pins.
No, not these people. No, the people that got bunny pins were me, Shannon, and Pat.
They were the people that like were genuinely helpful and didn't screw their customers over.
Yeah.
Like we were never told, I want to put this on record. We were never told once to lie to a customer.
It's true.
I want that on record. In GameStop's defense, we were never told to lie to a customer.
Yep.
We were only pressured to make these sales however we had to.
Yeah.
It's one of those things, and I'm sure that a lot of these people talking about the Circle of Life thing, like the anonymous email guy, I know for a fact that shady stuff happens because of the pressure. Like that store in St. Louis that got cleaned out, did you hear about that?
I did, because one of the guys that got cleaned out was the guy that was there when I got fired.
Yes.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, yeah.
Yeah, and the DM lost their job too because their office was right there.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
So here's what was happening.
See you next Tuesday.
They were faking system trade-ins and getting mass amounts of pre-orders with them, like under fake names.
Uh-huh.
And the various other things with like the fake trade-ins. Mm-hmm. They were faking like system trade-ins.
Yeah.
And they were putting in the back room in the system room, they were putting the boxes, but they were filling them with nothing. Or at most, like they put like something in there to weight the package down. Like I think somebody said there were bricks in one of them.
Jesus.
Yeah, they never really check. They leave it up to you to do your own counts.
Yeah.
And hardly ever did the DM or an RM or anybody come in and check themselves. They would leave it up to the employees of the store, and occasionally the DM would. However, if the DM is in on it, there's really no one above her that's going to check.
Because, yeah, the DM wasn't in on it. The reason she was let go is because that was her home store. Like, that's where her office was.
Yeah.
Like, she was sitting feet away from these
bricks.
Empty system boxes, or bricks inside cardboard boxes.
At least at our GameStop, we filled our system boxes with systems and cockroaches. That did happen.
I mean, they have one up on porn that got missed.
Oh, the treasure.
The treasure.
It's still there. From what I understand.
Well, it might not be anymore.
Apparently, okay, so GameStop got in hot water over this. It's all over the internet the past few days. Again, if you worked at GameStop, you're not surprised. Their little memo that they sent out, or their help me out here, Jesse.
The email?
Like the statement. The statement they made to Kotaku didn't really help, per se. So today, an internal memo sent by the COO of GameStop, Tony Bartel, went out. And somehow managed to end up in the hands of reporters. And it says, while the behaviors described in the news article are disappointing, I know they don't represent the vast majority of our associates and how they treat our customers. He also denied that the Circle of Life program, quote, placed pressure on store associates to mislead customers on the value of certain products. It's almost like he wrote that knowing it was going to go public. And he wanted to make it look like they were just Saint fucking John over there. And GameStop is not. They are the greediest corporation. Yeah.
And I mean, in complete fairness,
they're Shinra.
Like, part of that statement was right. Like you said, GameStop never told us to lie to customers.
Yeah. And they never placed pressure on us to mislead customers. They just placed pressure on us.
Right. It's one of those things. They put so much pressure on us that, like, in order to keep our jobs, which in fairness, one of the other things that I will compliment GameStop on, they pay really well in their upper management.
Yeah. And if you do really well, you are rewarded.
Yeah.
Monetarily.
Yeah. I mean, you get like the yearly bonus you get from, like, if you're a store manager, they give you like free games,
free systems. Sometimes.
Yeah. Like you get compensated well for your time if you are upper management at GameStop.
Yeah.
Like if you make it to those upper levels and you play the game, like, yeah, And especially if you start moving up to like DM and RM pay.
But at the cost of your soul. The cost of your soul. I look at Carrie Tronge, who used to be our DM.
Oh, she was so miserable by the time she left.
She played the game. She got onto us for stuff. Mm-hmm. Wink. Now that she's gone, she will tell you she was miserable. She hated it. She's so much happier. I can't think of a single person that used to work at GameStop and has said anything positive about it other than, man, I miss the money.
Yeah. And that's really it. Like, they start throwing those paychecks at you and you're like, yeah, I'll do that.
It's your soul is what they're selling to you. You know?
That's what you're giving them in exchange for that paycheck.
And for the free games.
And it really does feel worth it for a while.
I don't think we're going to see the end of the story anytime soon. I expect more stuff to come out. If you want to read it, go to Kotaku.com. It's all over there. Check it out. Decide for yourself. I don't want to end this on a negative note. We really don't have time to talk about toys. Sorry, Dalton. I know I said we would, but I lied.
It's okay. I got screwed out of mine last time, too.
What did you want to talk about last time?
We were going to discuss our cartoons that we liked that were all coming back via either new cartoons or movies.
Oh, yeah. We were going to talk about next week. Next Thursday. You have my word right now. Next Thursday.
Oh, see, I was actually going to make a recommendation for next Thursday.
Hell, what's yours?
It was something about, it was to do with the GameStop stuff. I think it would be fun to do, like, go back to the old school Tanner Thursday of the Ask Us Anything and theme it around GameStop.
Like, legally, I worry about that. Maybe I shouldn't. I don't know. We'll discuss it.
Maybe if you word it enough to where you don't say GameStop, you should be fine.
Dalton, have you watched Voltron?
Not yet.
Okay. Well, I was going to say, Lindsay,
I'll give you
the last 5 minutes to just talk about Voltron.
Yeah, you're good.
No, because I'll spoil everything.
How much? You and Jesse both have enjoyed it.
Because I need season 3 like now, and it's not coming anytime soon.
Yeah, how do you think I felt? I watched season 1 when it came out.
Remember I know.
That cliffhanger?
No, because I didn't watch it until after season 2 came out.
Yeah.
Because I remember the original cartoon, and it was okay, but I wasn't, like, thrilled over it.
Yeah, this new one
this
is
new
great.
One? Yeah, no, it's awesome.
But yeah, no, the problem is, like, they end, so far they've ended both seasons on major cliffhangers. Uh-huh. And the end of season 1, I was just like, need season 2.
I mean, I know in the original, Shiro's character did not end well. And I don't like where they left season 2.
And honestly, it's one of those things.
Table. Yeah, me up.
At least at the end of season 2, they wrapped up a story arc and they've started a new one.
But
season 1 finale?
Mm-mm. No. It was just hi, bye.
I was in the middle of a plot line. Uh-huh. It was just like,
that's all Lindsay's watched every time I go
I had
home.
It done in 3 days.
Yeah, that's fair.
Which is good because remember when Fuller House season 2 came out?
I had that done in a day and a half.
And she was
once
counting
I started
it down.
Watching it.
She was counting down the days till it came on.
That's
because
like,
hey,
you watched the first episode without me and said, eh.
To be fair, I watched the entire season without you.
I know.
I liked it. But then, yeah, she's been all about Voltron. Dalton, tell me about the newest toy in your life. I'm going to give each of you a moment to talk about something you enjoy before we get out of here. A moment of zen, if you will. Yeah. I'm going to trademark that. A moment of zen at the end of an episode. That's awesome.
Yeah, John Stewart did that, though.
The Green Lantern?
Jonathan Stewart.
Jonathan Stewart.
You son of a bitch. Dalton, go ahead.
Most recently bought the X-Pac Elite from, like, Series 32.
You did. That's a sweet figure, too.
And I'm so happy. I've seen it online, and it's pretty cheap. Right now, I'm currently there's a toy fair going on somewhere that, like, Hasbro releases a whole bunch of stuff. They released 3 waves or announced, like, what 3 waves are going to be. Not really stoked for any of them because they're all movie-based. But
around which ones?
Ragnarok, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. I can't remember what the other one is.
So these are all Marvel?
All Marvel, yeah. Right. DC, I'm not a big fan of DC figures anymore, really. There's some things. They're doing a Nightwing icon that I'll buy because it's Nightwing. Right now, though, I'm currently looking at the Shinsuke Nakamura defining moment. It finally got a package for it.
Can you show me?
Yeah. That's the promo.
Oh, that's pretty
it's
sweet.
It's from TakeOver Dallas's entrance. There's what it looks like in the box.
That's his first appearance, right?
That's his first appearance. Yeah. You get 2 shirts with it. I'm probably going to pre-order it. Or it's defining moments. There'll be 50 of them at Toys R Us one day, and I'll pick it up then and save like a dollar or two. But yeah, no, I have a couple things. Mary Jo and David at Villainous Grounds pre-ordered me the second wave of X-Men, which has like the Jim Lee Cyclops and Old Man Logan.
Jim Lee Cyclops, my absolute favorite.
Yeah, and I have
that was the 90s X-Men.
Okay. I have the Uncanny with the X-Visor of Cyclops in my display, but I really, 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 really want that Jim Lee one.
Yeah.
And then they're going to try to get our Ace and I's Power Ranger waves in so we can get the white and yellow Ranger without having to like have to do any shenanigans like I had to for the Blue Ranger.
Donate plasma.
You know, if sperm. It gets me those two. Well, no. For that white Ranger and the yellow Ranger, I would donate sperm for it. You know, honestly, I would donate sperm for most of the figures.
Quick shout out to Villainous Grounds in Perryville, by the way. We haven't plugged them in a while. If you're looking for a good cup of coffee, the best cup of coffee, and you want comics and good company, please go visit our friends at Villainous Grounds in Perryville, Missouri. It is the best shop you will go to, and that's including the one I run.
And
also,
yeah,
they're much better than me.
Really quick, though, David, get better. You're sick today. I was told you were sick. Get better, please.
David, you die on me, and I'll kill you. That's a promise.
Also, because we haven't brought it up in a while, you got a little Adolf Squeakers over there in your pocket? Because
we
talk
plug
about
them weekly.
Every Sunday.
Do you really?
Yeah. I put things on my pull list on the show.
But when I say that, I meant, like, I haven't plugged them lately.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay. That's why I made the Adolf Squeakers
was in my pocket. Yeah. Yeah. He's got a gun. He just got one.
Was he mentally not well? Oh, that makes sense.
He hears voices, and all the voices told him to upgrade from the pistol to, like, a double barrel. you can kill people harder with that. Jesse, what's something you've been doing that you've enjoyed? You've been playing Dragon Quest Fire Emblem Heroes. There you go.
Fire Emblem. No, they released the mobile game. I never thought that I would be so hyped for a mobile game as I was for Fire Emblem Heroes. I was like super looking forward to this game, and it released today, finally. It did not disappoint. Like, I'm having a blast with it. It's not, like, it really is Fire Emblem Light. They're just super quick little mini missions. The chibi characters are adorable. There's a whole bunch of them. There's a lot of stuff to do. Including like some PvP mode, an actual full story, albeit short and not very deep, but they're planning on adding new story stuff every 2 weeks.
Nice.
For the foreseeable future.
Super nice.
Yeah, no, I'm enjoying the crap out of this game. It's free to play iOS and Android right now. You guys should check it out.
I'm going to go home tonight because they just released Jubilee and Marvel Heroes as a team up. They also released Beast as a playable character, which is pretty cool.
Ooh.
Except it's the newer version of Beast with like the cat face.
Oh.
And I like my Beast 90 style, the big buff monkey looking one kind of. Kelsey Grammer.
That works.
Yeah.
But the one from the 90s. Yeah, that amazing movie in 2008.
I'm really excited that Jubilee's out. I've been waiting for Jubilee. The only other game I can remember Jubilee being in was Marvel X-Men Legends. She was playable in the first X-Men Legends. And I played as her. And her final attack, like when you upgraded it, was literally she would throw fireworks up and it would just bomb the entire screen and kill everything and blow everything up. And I always thought that was really cool because she doesn't just, you know, shoot sparklers, CJ.
Oh, he doesn't listen to the show.
I know, that's why I made fun of him.
Dazzler comes out in that next wave too. I'm going to have a Dazzler figure now.
Dazzler's cool, man.
With the bell bottoms. Super stoked.
And the roller skates.
Yeah, Jesse, actually, I guess if I find that one, I'll have to buy you.
You guys need to talk about Marvel Injustice. Shit.
DC
Injustice 2 on Nerd Up because they released a bunch of new character info today.
I mean, yeah, we'll be talking about it again. It'll be the third week in a row we've talked about Injustice
2. Ace is not complaining.
No, he's not.
And still haven't released Nightwing.
They're not gonna.
Save it for Sunday, baby. Save it for Sunday. We're going to get out of here real quick. We got to plug some stuff. Dalton, would you like to redeem yourself?
Yeah, if you would like to help us out. Any way possible is always appreciated. First, you can go on patreon.com/podzilla1985. Please donate to us. If you do any amount for any time, we will put your name on our website. Also, if you would like some merch for Podzilla1985, go to redbubble.com. Search
He's flailing.
Podzilla1985.
Keyword. Danger. Keyword search. Podzilla1985.
Keyword.
Danger. Danger.
I like that you're with the plugs right now. I understand that I'm messing them up, but you're making it worse.
Well, for the record, like, I hate plugging things.
I had a script, I'd be fine. But anyway,
No. I mean, I just hate plugging things. I don't want to tell people, hey, donate money to us. Because personally, I don't want anyone's money. Because to me, that's a handout. And I'm very much against handouts. But at the same time, here's the reason why we plug it. We got the YouTube thing coming up.
Yeah.
Which we're buying equipment for. We do the show. We do Blogzilla. We do a lot of stuff. And if you guys can make it where I'm not paying out of my pocket to do these things for you that we love to do so much, it's so appreciated. It helps me out. We are broke as shit.
Uh-huh. Accurate.
Every single one of us here is broke. And you might hear us talk about toys and all, we want this and that. Most of the stuff we enjoy, we get discounted or free.
Somehow, miraculously.
Yeah. Or, yeah, it's just one of those things we decide to forego other luxuries like food.
Food.
Or
working cars. Yeah. All right, let me help you out, Dalton.
Yeah.
If you want to donate to us, go to patreon.com/podzilla1985. Any amount will be greatly appreciated. Any amount will get you on the website. And if you pledge $10 to us, we will plug your show, podcast, whatever you would like on any of our shows here on the Podzilla 1985 network. You can also go to redbubble.com, search for keyword Podzilla 1985, buy some of the lovely merchandise that our own Lindsay Wolfgang has created, including that upcoming Pro Wrestling Unscripted shirt we're so excited to offer to you. Go to podzilla1985.com, catch up on the old episode, check out the cast page, check out the cast picks, and also make sure you go over to facebook.com/podzilla1985. Give us a like so we can keep in touch with you. Was that so hard?
I'm not a host.
Yeah, you think this is easy? Thank you guys so much for listening. We'll be back on Sunday with Nerd Up. We can't wait for it. We'll see you then. And Dalton, redeem yourself. Please take us out.
See you guys.